Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Oh, happy Easter. This is not much of an Easter episode. However, wherever you are, I wish you the most fabulous Zombie Jesus Day. Oh, I had a friend and I, we would talk about how we would make Zombie Jesus Day instead of Easter, where instead of like having the Easter bunny come and surprise our children, we would do Easter eggs, but make them look like zombies, or maybe, I don't know, dress up like Zombie Jesus and have pictures that way. I just think it's funny. And if you don't think it's funny, that's okay too, but it brings me joy. I have another friend, Abby, who I've referenced in other podcasts and she's been on before too. And she has this picture that her grandmother had, and it literally is just, you know, a normal picture of Jesus. However, if you look at it, and when I say Jesus, I mean like the American version of Jesus. Is there a different version? I'm not entirely sure. But anyways, there's this painting that she has and it's just like old grandma frame, right? But if you look at it, her husband of so many years, way too many years for how young they are, always says that this isn't just a normal picture of Jesus, it's sexy Jesus. Like there's some sort of smolder blue steel that this painting is giving off and it's just way too whatever. And on Abby's wedding day, one of her presents from her parents was the sexy Jesus picture. And I just... Since we're talking about zombie Jesus, I assume that everyone else wants to know about sexy Jesus too, because, you know, that's about spirituality on this podcast, right? Anyways, I hope you all have or are having a happy Easter. The new scheduling content. I know I'm not coming out with content every week, but just as my own solo person right now, that's undoable for me. And oh, the amount of time I've had to try and work on other things, like the tarot sheet that I want to create for all of you, which I just have as a spreadsheet right now, I'm starting to work on that. I was able to edit a video for exclusive Patreon content on the Meta Psychics Patreon, and that was so much fun. I've missed editing videos. Editing podcasts is fun, but editing videos is more fun for me because when stupid things pop into my head, I can try to find them on the internet and put them in the videos for you. And it's literally my favorite thing to do. But the new content schedule, I hope, is good for you guys because it's also being very, very rewarding to me. And I appreciate you guys embracing that along with me. If you guys don't or haven't heard the new Patreon video that's out, if you're on Patreon, go look at it. If you're tier 3 or higher, which is Akashic Castle, then you can go watch it right now. It's called Bathroom Mediumship, where Amanda from Mackie and Amanda and I have an impromptu paranormal investigation while doing our makeup. The inspiration for it was, and I took this out because I thought it was silly and too long, but I was telling her how when I was putting my mascara on, I said, isn't there like a portion on the Ellen show where they would do like bathroom something? I'm like, why can't we do bathroom mediumship? That would be fun. So that is the inspiration for the name. Cause I'm sure a lot of people are like, why are they saying bathroom mediumship? That seems like not okay. Or like kind of weird. It's not like that. It's just, you know, we were doing our makeup, having girl talk, and then the soul of another girl walked in, and it ended up being a great time. So if you're interested in that, go check it out. It'll be in the link in the show notes below for Patreon, and it's a good time. Other housekeeping things before we move on to the meat and potatoes of today's podcast. I have availability for May, and I know this comes out the second week or second to last week of April, because yeah, today's Easter. But as of right now, I have availability for April and a whole bunch of availability for private readings in May. So if you're interested in that, the wait is over. I was backed up with pet psychic readings for a while, but if you've been waiting your turn for a reading, now is your time. It's springtime. It's exciting. Go do that now. If not, that's entirely okay too. I appreciate you listening to this podcast. Last thing I want to talk about before we move on is just a little bit of a teaser for you all. There's going to be some collaborations I'm working on soon, and I'm excited about it. Guys, the new, again, with the content schedule, one video and one podcast, you know, in a month. I think I'm doing like the beginning of the month and then the end of the month, something like that. I was going to do like every other, but it's just one video, one podcast, whenever they come out. And it's allowing me to reach out to other fabulous people so that Metapsychics can continue to be your sidekick to all things metaphysical. We're going to have lots of interesting guests on the podcast and possibly videos, and I'm excited. So stay tuned for that. Now, this life update is a little bit, it kind of like, I was actually wondering what I was going to talk about for a life update today. Again, if you're new to the podcast and you don't want to continue to listen to me talk about myself or personal things about myself, beginning of this was just housekeeping, updates, etc. But if you don't want to listen to my life update, then you can just go on down to the show notes. There will be timestamps below and you can just go to the next timestamp where there'll be what we're talking about. But now is your time to leave. And if you don't want to listen about my dreams. All right. So life update. Again, it's a little constituent. It's not constituent. And maybe that's the wrong word. It's parallel to what we're going to be talking about today. Kind of. I didn't know what I wanted to talk about, but today we're going to be talking about a topic that it's new to me and I've wanted to talk about it for a little bit now, but I haven't figured out how to talk about it or if it's correct to talk about it. But the longer I've been mulling over the idea of wanting to talk about this topic or at least touch on it, the more I feel like I need to. So I'm just going to do it, even though I am apprehensive to cover a topic like this, which is spiritual psychosis. So with that being said, and how does this have to do like with my life update? I didn't know what I was going to talk about, but last night I actually had a dream about one of my friends who passed away. And I've talked about my friend in past podcasts and the heartbreak that I've had since her passing, but I have asked a couple different people that are mediums to try and connect with her and they can't, which is fine because, you know, as a medium, I understand that you get what you need, not necessarily what you want. And if that soul isn't supposed to talk to you, then they're not going to come through to that medium. But it's made me very, very sad. And I don't usually have dreams about talking to souls as a medium when I have private readings with people. Oftentimes, a lot of people like, they'll share their dreams with me about past loved ones because they want validation. And I'm not necessarily there to give you the validation. I will try if I can, but you should just listen to whatever you think your dream is. You know, like if you think your grandpa, your meemaw, your aunt, your uncle, your dog, whoever came and visited you in a dream, let that feeling take precedence over anything that a medium or someone that says they're a medium says to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will listen. I love to listen to your dreams, but 9 times out of 10, you're right. And I can tell you that you're right, but you know, I think you just knowing that you're right is probably more personal. I don't know. Anyways, so I have not yet been able to really feel like I have been able to talk to my friend that passed away. And my husband is dead set on going for his birthday in June to visit his best friend, which was my friend's husband, and their daughter. And it has just been like, oh, I'm not going to get emotional. I can do this. It's been eating me up inside because they have a daughter. And now when I have my son and I was talking to my friend, her name was Nicole. When I first got pregnant, she was the first person I told because we weren't super close then, but she was also a mom and she was a mom a couple, almost a year before me. So it was really cool to talk to her as a mom because I'd never had any mom friends before. And, I don't know how I'm going to be able to visit with my husband, his best friend, and their daughter without just being a wreck. Does that sound silly? It's been so hard losing my friend, and I don't know how I'm not just going to cry every time I see their daughter. Especially since I always imagined that my son and their daughter would always play and we would just have family things together. So this is something that's been on my mind. And last night, I had a dream about Nicole. And it was the craziest dream because she was alive. And I remember we were going to visit her. But I remember in the dream that I was thinking to myself, like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I know Nicole is not alive. She passed away, thinking that in my dream. But then in my dream, we were talking and having a conversation. And it seemed a little bit like I've had people, like I said, in readings tell me about their dreams with their past loved ones. And it's almost like they're just talking to them like a person. And I don't feel like I quite had that sort of connection in my dream version of Nicole. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know if my subconscious is trying to deal with my emotions of having and going to go see my husband's best friend and Nicole's daughter, or if really maybe she was talking to me in my dream. But we didn't talk about why I've been so sad or anything like that. And maybe it's just because it's not something that I need. It's more so something that I want. But nonetheless, I'm sharing this with you all as a life update because I don't have someone that I can go to confirm this, you know, like how all these other people come to me to confirm it. And not necessarily that I want to, but I understand now where people are coming from when they come to me of like, can you validate for this for me? Because it's so special and you want it to be something special. But again, at the end of the day, no one can make something like that special for you because it is what it is type of thing. So it is kind of related to spiritual psychosis, but it's also not. It's just the fact of when we get to the end of today's topic conversation, it's just when it comes to things regarding spirituality, it is good to just accept things as face value and not necessarily let it eat you up inside, because whether or not Nicole came to actually visit me in a dream, that dream was still important to me nonetheless. And I shouldn't be focusing on like the validity, the spiritual validity of it, and more so just being grateful and accepting that I had that dream. And maybe it'll help me when we go to visit my husband's best friend and Nicole's daughter. So I've been thinking about that since last night. And I woke up in the middle of the dream too, right? And then I was thinking about these things in the dream of like, oh, Nicole isn't actually alive. Why is she here right now? Why am I seeing her with their daughter? Yada, yada, yada. And I woke up because my husband woke me up. And then I tried to go back to sleep to continue the dream and see if I could like ask her, is this really you? Are you in my dream? What's going on? And then I couldn't. And it's so frustrating. I didn't dream about her the rest of the night, but I had like four or five other dumb dreams. So you gotta let it go and move on and take it for what it is. So that is my life update. I'm hoping that we can have a vacation because I have not had a vacation, like an actual true vacation, in a long, long time. And I hope I can also be emotionally strong seeing my friend's little girl. Now, on to today's topic, which I'm also nervous about.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I know this is not much of an Easter Sunday special, but nonetheless, it is important. And in preparation for Mental Health Awareness Month, which is the entire month of May, I wanted to talk about a topic which is pretty new to me, given that I've been working in the spiritual community for 5 years now. Personally, I've struggled with my own mental health journey. In college, I had undiagnosed ADHD. When I actually went to see a doctor to see if I could get diagnosed or at least put in the right direction of, was there something that could help me be more productive and focused and balanced? Because I was struggling for a long time with anxiety and depression. So I was on anxiety and depression meds for a while when I was first in college, and I gained so much weight and they did not help me at all. And then eventually, through just my own research, like actual books from school and things like that in the psychology department, I figured out that anxiety and depression can be underlying symptoms of ADHD. So I went to my doctor and I was like, listen, anxiety and depression meds aren't helping me. I think of this, 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 that, that. So I think that this is what I need, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, well, that's a very sound reasoning, but here's this survey. Answer these questions truthfully, and then we'll go from there. And that is how, after getting my college degree and being out of school for like a year and a half, I was able to be diagnosed with ADHD. And my doctor actually asked me, they're like, oh, you went to school, right? And I said, yeah. They're like, well, what did you get your associate's degree in? And I was like, I didn't get an associate's degree. And they're like, oh, well, what did you go to school for? And I said, well, I have my bachelor's in science. They're like, you have a bachelor's degree? They're like, your ADHD is so bad. How did you accomplish that? And I was like, exactly, my guy. Life has been very hard. I need assistance. So I've also dealt with something called perinatal depression. So a lot of times in women who have had babies, there's something called postpartum depression, which can be linked to a lot of like true crime stories in the past when a woman actually just had postpartum depression and had terrible things that happened, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also something called perinatal depression, which I did not know about until after I had had my son. So perinatal depression is like postpartum depression, but it's the depression that happens while you're pregnant, not afterwards. So I didn't know it, but the whole 10 months, because Oak was a slow cooker, I had terrible depression, and I thought it was just normal to feel the way that I was when I was pregnant. And I remember being very diligent with my husband and my healthcare providers about being aware of and looking for signs of postpartum depression because of my ADHD. And that wasn't the problem. I actually felt great after Oak was born, but during it, it was an interesting experience. And now I know. So there's just been huge changes with motherhood, and whether or not throughout all of this, pre-college, during college, now into motherhood, I feel like I have reached for spirituality in one way or another. I remember I've tried meditation, like specific meditation, like the quintessential meditation that you hear about with the normal spiritual community of like clearing your mind, sitting in a quiet room. I've tried guided meditation. I've tried burning incense. I've tried crystals. That was actually a good one. I actually used to live above a coffee/metaphysical shop, which is kind of funny. I mean, it was more of like a coffee shop than a metaphysical shop, but they did drumming circles and stuff like that too. Sometimes that was always a fun Friday night. But I went downstairs one day to the coffee shop and I bought crystals because I was like, I need a pink crystal. I need this selenite crystal. I'm going to make my life feel better. Mind you, I was in my junior year of college, just moved out with my boyfriend, and we were living in this little apartment in town. And I just thought that putting crystals on my windowsill would help because, you know, the guided meditation didn't help. The normal meditation didn't help. I was like, crystals, I'm going to carry these bitches around with me and it's going to be great. Well, it got to the point where I was like, I'm going to put specific crystals based on their specific things that they're supposed to do under my pillow so that at night I can just like subconsciously cleanse my essence, right? Well, Brad accidentally took my pillow one night and he went to like throw it and put it down and he ended up hitting himself, something like that. And he didn't know that there was like probably 12 rocks in my pillowcase. He ended up hurting himself. I remember he was like, what is in your pillow? Do you actually have rocks in here? And I was like, yeah, I do. And then he told me that having rocks under my pillow was maybe not the best idea. And I did not listen to him. Tarot card readings, seeing psychics, reading books, all of this before, during, and after metapsychics, you know? So I've gone through all of these things throughout my life so far. Now, although I'm a psychic medium, the practice of spirituality is new to me, and I emphasize the word practice. But now, after 5 years, I've begun to learn that embracing spirituality should make you feel better and more balanced, and not like you're grabbing at straws. So since offering my own private readings, I've met a lot of lovely people, and it is a privilege and an honor to be able to communicate with so many people. It's actually my favorite part about my job, meeting people and being able to help them too. I was talking to my husband the other night about how I just enjoy, like, I came downstairs from a reading, right? And his new joke is when I go upstairs, he gets home from work in the evenings, I give him the baby, tell him what's going on, what we're doing for dinner, etc. And when I'm going upstairs, he goes, knock him dead. And the first time he did that, he did it not knowing that it was punny, you know? And now he says it and just laughs to himself. But I'll come downstairs and he'll ask me, like, who'd you talk to? What'd you talk about? And I've just, the more I've been talking to him about all of you lovely people that I get to meet, it just makes me realize that my favorite part about doing all of these readings is not necessarily, like, I like helping people. That is great. But I love meeting everyone. And I not only get to meet you all who are living on the other side of the Zoom screen, but being able to meet your past loved ones and some of the funny things that they have to say is literally my favorite. I love those podcasts or those videos where people, like, I don't know the name of this guy, but he goes around England and he asks people to have a cup of tea with him. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, I make videos where I have a cup of tea or coffee and I ask you a question and you just tell me about your life. That is my favorite thing ever. If I could just listen to people talk about their lives and the things that they've been through all day, that is how I would want to spend a majority of my time. So being able to meet all of you and your lovely, lovely, hilarious past loved ones too is just my favorite part of doing this every day. But anyways, I am by no means a mental health professional, but I have met some individuals and had others reach out to me to share certain things about themselves and the experiences that they've had since beginning their own spiritual journeys. These conversations and the experiences they've shared with me from being part of a spiritual community have led me to learn about a term called spiritual psychosis. Now, spiritual psychosis is not something solely linked to the spiritual community. It can be fueled by organized religion as well, but this term has been entirely new to me. I never have ever heard of spiritual psychosis until within the last year. So let's talk about a little terminology and the background. So spiritual psychosis is not an official diagnostic term, but generally serves as a description of certain types of delusions and beliefs that can accompany a psychotic episode. The National Institute of Mental Health, or NIMH, defines psychosis as a collection of symptoms that affect the mind where there has been some loss of contact with reality. More specifically, spiritual psychosis is characterized by delusions or hallucinations related to religious or spiritual experiences that are not rooted in reality. Now, this may seem kind of confusing when the metaphysical is just that. It's not physical. But that's why I wanted to make this podcast, to draw awareness to this term so that you can embrace spirituality within the healthy bounds of reality, to find and establish balance and bring peace to your everyday life. Now, I told you all how I've been really nervous to record this podcast because I personally have not experienced spiritual psychosis. At least I don't think I have. I do know that there were times like today. That's why I talked about my dream that I had about my friend that passed, Nicole, being very overly, like, it's not spiritual psychosis, but like fixating on that would probably not be a healthy thing for me, which is why when I shared with you all, like, yes, do I wish that I knew the meaning of it? Yes. Or like the validity, was it actually my friend Nicole talking to me, or was it just my subconscious, or was it both? If I hyper fixated on that, that could be not a very healthy behavior. But you have to like the balance whether or not spirituality, like the things that you experience spiritually, with normal everyday things. So not hyper fixating on that is a good thing. And being able to say, yes, I wish that I knew it, but it's okay to not know. That's like, that's kind of the balance, I guess. I'm going to talk about three different people in today's podcast too, just before we continue on. One person, her name is the Norse witch. She talks about her own experience of being in a spiritual psychosis. I will talk more about that later, and her video will be linked below, because I wanted you all to be able to have different resources to better understand spiritual psychosis than just this podcast and me talking. I want to be able to give you guys information and resources that can maybe talk to you in a way that's better to you. Kind of like you may jive with the things that I'm saying and the way that I say them. That's why you listen to this podcast, but kind of like books and other podcasts, other people can say things differently and reach a different audience. So if you're someone that is more psychological and analytical and more like spiritual guru-y in the way people talk about things, I also have a resource that we'll talk about more so later too, from Teal Swan. And if you're more looking for someone that can give you information, again, who hasn't experienced spiritual psychosis but wants to talk about it because they've also recognized and seen how this could be affecting other people, this mental health condition, then I also have another resource that will be linked in the show notes too by this girl named Sarah Kay. So, you know, that's why we're having this discussion, because after 5 years, I didn't know that spiritual psychosis was a thing. And now after talking to some people and people reaching out to me to tell me their experiences with it, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I now am understanding where they're coming from and the things that they've gone through. So that's why I wanted to talk about this topic in this podcast, because although it is the end of April, May is coming, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think in the spiritual community, spiritual psychosis, and another thing, which specifically the video that I reference in the show notes by Teal Swan is called spiritual bypassing. Spiritual bypassing and spiritual psychosis are different, but I feel like spiritual bypassing could be a stepping stone to spiritual psychosis. So it's, you know, again, resources that you guys can use to watch that might enlighten you in a different way. Anyways, moving on. Now, talking about how spiritual psychosis is characterized by delusions and hallucinations related to religious or spiritual experiences that are not rooted in reality, this may seem kind of confusing when the metaphysical is just that, not physical. But again, that's why I wanted to talk about this podcast. So we're going to get into the symptoms according to a quick Google search from the National Institute of Mental Health. Are delusions, false beliefs that are resistant to reality testing, often involving spiritual figures, events, or ideas. Hallucinations, so sensory experiences that are not real, such as hearing voices, seeing visions, or having unusual smells or tastes, often related to a spiritual or religious theme. Disorganized thinking and speech, such as having difficulty organizing thoughts and expressing them clearly. A loss of contact with reality, difficulty distinguishing between what is real and what is not, leading to impaired functioning, and behavioral changes, such as withdrawal, agitation, and unusual religious rituals. Now again, reminder, spiritual psychosis is not a diagnostic term. It is only used to describe a psychotic episode brought about by underlying mental health conditions which manifest through spiritual or religious undertones. Now I haven't experienced spiritual psychosis personally, but I have had conversations with those who have. So since I cannot tell you a personal experience that I have had, I have included in the show notes links to videos, which I've already talked to you, by a lovely human who goes by the YouTube handle of The Norse Witch. In her video, she shares her personal experiences with spiritual psychosis, and I highly recommend you watching her video. I have had a few other people reach out to me and talk to me about their own experiences that they've had in other spiritual communities. And that really opened my eyes to spiritual psychosis and what it is. Now, how can you differentiate between spiritual psychosis and spiritual experiences? Again, this is just a Google AI generated search response when I was asking about like the NIHM, the National Institute of Mental Health, and what their stipulations are. So they're differentiating between spiritual psychosis and spiritual experiences is inconsistent with accepted beliefs. So if the delusional beliefs are typically fixed, firmly held, and not easily swayed by evidence or logic, then that's more of a symptom of spiritual psychosis. Now, the healthier spiritual experience is, while spiritual experiences may be temporary, people with those spiritual experiences are open to questioning. That is a healthy way to differentiate. Impact on functioning. So psychotic symptoms can severely impair daily functioning, whereas spiritual experiences may not necessarily lead to functional difficulties. Again, like I said, guys, spirituality, after 5 years of doing this, I have found that it should make you feel more balanced and at peace with your actual life rather than like you're grabbing at straws and trying to find answers from other people. Like if you are getting disorganized and disgruntled on a spiritual journey, that's, you probably need to take a step back. Now, a professional assessment. It is crucial to seek professional help to determine if spiritual experiences are a sign of underlying mental health issues such as psychosis. Now, that is also something that I have had a few people tell me was very, very hard for them. If you don't know that you're experiencing spiritual psychosis, how are you supposed to get help? I did have one person tell me that they had a friend reach out to them and say, hey, I don't think that the things that you're doing are healthy, and I can see that you aren't going outside, you haven't brushed your hair, you're not washing your teeth. When did you go grocery shopping last? Like the last time I talked to you, you were telling me X, Y, and Z. And when I asked you what the last thing was that you ate, you told me that you didn't remember. And this person that was talking to me said, I did not know that I had a problem. And when my friend reached out to me and said, hey, I think you should maybe go outside or talk to someone else or step away from all of this stuff that you're telling me about, they said they got very angry. They were very combative and didn't understand what was going on. And it wasn't until they started to hit a bit of a rock bottom that they were able to go and find help. So I just want to give you guys a conversation about spiritual psychosis. Now, I've already said this again before, but I love watching content where people just talk with other people. It might be a psychic medium thing, but hey, I saw an interview with a woman on a channel called Soft White Underbelly, and this woman was talking about how she used to be a part of a cult called Children of God. Now, I looked up this cult, and the name has been changed to The Family International, which is, if you want to go learn about it, go for it. It's a rabbit hole that you can go down. But it's an interesting one. Now, the basis of this was I was interested by this woman's story because it was her recovery story of how she was able to get out of this cult and start her own life away from all of the cult activity that she was literally born into. So her recovery story, part of it, she was talking about how people were inviting her to join spirituality. And her response was something like, I don't want to be a part of another community of people who only like to share like-minded ideas, where if you question someone, they tell you how to think or what you should feel or how to do things. And when I heard that, that hit me hard. I had been asking myself if I should do a podcast on spiritual psychosis. And when I saw this woman on this interview say that, I was like, I need to find the strength to do this. I need to just talk about it because however it's received is how it's received, but at least it's being talked about because I feel like so many people in the spiritual community don't talk about it. And I feel like it should be like a number one thing you learn about before you even go into your spiritual journey, like spiritual OSHA. Everyone should have like a spiritual OSHA before they go into spirituality and start like their journeys, their awakenings, whatever it is, you should have an OSHA sheet that you should read first. And first thing on the list should be, this is what spiritual psychosis is. This is what spiritual bypassing is. Now, here's all of the fun spiritual things that you can get into that can help you find balance and peace in your life. Go for it in any way, shape, or form that meets your requirements and that you see fit, et cetera, et cetera. But first, A, B, and C, OSHA spirituality is what we got to read. And I feel like not a lot of people talk about it. So we're going to talk about the hard things. Now, I've noticed trends in the spiritual community of gatekeeping ideas and practices. And when people come to me and ask to confirm or deny their spiritual experiences because I'm a medium, they ask how I can help them to expand their spiritual abilities, etc. All of that is hard for me because I'm like, I've been going back to this woman from the video who was in the cult of like, I just don't want to be a part of another community that tells me how to think or what to do or how to act or how to feel. And I really want metapsychics to be a place where you're not told what to do or what to think, but are emboldened to take your own journey and your own education and your own learning in your own hands. And if you have questions, here, this is my opinion. Put that in your pocket and do with it what you will. This is my experience. Put it in your book of other people's experiences and use it as you will, but don't ask for answers. Don't go out to people and be like, oh, you have so much more experience than me, so therefore you know everything. No. Make your own decisions. Make your own conclusions. Draw your own ideas. Read about other people's experiences and other people's things and all of the knowledge and opinions and whatever that is out there on spirituality, because I feel like it takes away from authenticity. And I think your spiritual journey should be something that is authentically you. It is all yours. You make it how you want. It will never be the same as someone else's ever. Never, 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 ever. So most times I ask people when they come to me, what do you think? because I think, again, it's important for you to, like I just said, for the life update today, like, do I wish I could ask someone if Nicole was talking to me in my dreams? Yes. But at the end of the day, is it that important? No. What's important is how it made me feel, how it helped me or how it didn't, because it doesn't matter whether it's spiritually valid or not, because it still is valid nonetheless, because it was an experience that I had that has helped me. Makes sense. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope I'm not just talking in circles. If I am, then I'm probably lost to people that don't want to talk about this anyways. And if you're still here, congratulations. But in readings, I have had people ask me things like that. And I will tell people if I don't get information, whether like confirming yes or no. Sometimes when people ask me, did this happen? Did that not happen? I will ask spirit, can you show me something about this incident that someone is telling me about that I wouldn't know? Can you show me aspects of it? Almost as if it was, I was experiencing this incident myself. And if I can get that information that's correct from spirit, because without spirit telling me those things, I would not know them. Then I use that as a stipulation of, yes, you did experience this. However, there are times more often than not when I don't get anything. I get bubkiss. When I ask spirit to validate an experience that someone has had, I'm like, can you give me more information about this? I get crickets, my guys. Absolute crickets. And I'll tell people, I'm not getting any information. And they're like, oh. And I'll extrapolate, just because I don't get information on it doesn't mean that your experience isn't valid or didn't happen. It means either it's not spiritual in nature, or I'm just not supposed to know this information because it's something that you want to know and not necessarily something you need to know. So therefore, I get nothing. It doesn't take away or negate from your spiritual experience just because I can't have, I don't have things for it. It just is what it is, my dudes. And I'll tell people that. But it's all such a delicate thing to sort of navigate in the spiritual world. I have had people ask me during readings if I have a certain crystal or a ritual that I can give them or tell them to fix a problem for them. And I've had others who have shared with me how much other spiritual practitioners have charged them to, quote, fix a problem, which did not actually fix their problem. It just, it all makes me feel a little bit funny. I had a woman and she told me about how she had seen someone that was a medium. And at the end of the reading, they tried to sell them this big giant crystal chandelier that they were supposed to hang in a sunny spot in their house. And if they bought this crystal chandelier for like $700, then it would like lighten the vibrations of their home. And the woman just made a comment about it. And I was like, did you buy the chandelier? And she said, no, but she shared that information with me and I had never heard of something like that before. So it was interesting. I think that spiritual psychosis can affect both those that we find ourselves looking to learn from and those trying to learn too. And at that point, I feel like this all can become like the proverbial snake eating its own tail. Oftentimes, people seek out spirituality in order to heal from something, but spirituality is like any other physical thing. Too much of it can be bad. And if you're already not in a healthy state of mind, just like a physical substance, spirituality can be abused and become hurtful, not healing. Throughout the time I have began embracing my mediumship professionally, I have noticed and found it personally hard to find a place myself within the professional spiritual space because I feel that so many make it seem that spirituality is not rooted in physicality. That to be spiritual, one must be connected to this, quote, other world, this non-tangible, unphysical, non-realistic essence. And that if you're not like vibing in another dimension, then you're not spiritual. Or that there's no place for you in spirituality. But now I'm beginning to believe that wholeheartedly, that is untrue. True spirituality should connect you and make you feel more attuned to or in harmony with the real world around you, not less. Spirituality is not a vessel in which to escape reality, but to embrace it. And I think that because I was so new to spirituality 5 years ago when I began offering readings professionally, that the reason I have felt so unaligned with spirituality itself is because so many others use it as a way to escape reality, to hide from the things which have harmed them instead of using spirituality as a tool to heal and empower themselves. Which sounds romantically positive, but in all reality is a horribly, horribly hard thing to do. And I have learned so many things from talking to souls in readings. I say that not only do I have the gift of meeting you and your past loved ones and being able to hopefully help you, because that is the goal of mediumship, to bring peace and clarity to you from your past loved ones, etc. But there has been times where I have been going through things in my life, and by doing a reading for you, your past loved ones have given me a gift in return of enlightening me or giving me a perspective that I've never ever seen before or experienced. And although I only experience it spiritually, it's like that conversation with your grandma that you really needed because she's been through so much, that they tell you a story of a thing that they've gone through and now you know how you could possibly deal with whatever it is that you're going on in your life. That's a little bit of kind of how it is sometimes when I give readings to others. It's a little bit like what your past loved ones have to share end up resonating with me. And that's just a beautiful bonus gift that happens sometimes. But even though I get little nuggets of spiritual wisdom from your past loved ones, it doesn't mean that just because I know that I'm now like this spiritually enlightened person that has known all of these things and can go through life and not struggle. No, it is still hard. Just because you know something and you might understand it doesn't mean that you can do it. It takes hard work and practice to try and overcome things. And it's not like, oh, I now know this thing and it's no longer a problem. No, I still have to keep working at it. There's sometimes things that souls will say in readings, and my client, you lovely people that I'm talking to, will be like, oh, that makes so much sense. You're so wise. And I'm like, no. Listen to me. I'm not wise. Your past loved one is. That was not me talking. That is them. That is some spiritual enlightenment. That is like, they're laying it down, my dude. Not me, them. 100%. So I have to like, just because I say it doesn't mean that it's easy, I guess is what I'm trying to go for. So you know, using spirituality to heal yourself sounds romantically positive, but in all reality, it is a horribly, horribly hard thing to do. It's like many people within the spiritual community are telling a story, but horribly missing the punchline. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've been finding it hard to find my place here as a professional. But now that I understand that spirituality should connect you and make you feel more attuned to or in harmony with the real world around you and not less, I feel like I've uncovered a tiny little path, but I'm not entirely sure where it will lead. So I've been talking with another friend of mine about this question. If we are spiritual beings within a physical experience, or if we're physical beings within a spiritual experience. I'll say that one more time. Do you think, because this is something I've been talking about with my friend, do you think, are we spiritual beings within a physical existence, or are we physical beings within a spiritual existence? I'll give you just a second. You can pause this if you need to choose your own response. Write down something if you want, whatever it is. And then we can talk about it, because what you choose for that question may shed some light on where you stand within your beliefs in spirituality. So the answer my friend and I came up with is both. We are both. And I have never heard another person say within the spiritual community that I've asked this question to, or that they were talking about, that have answered in the same way, that we are both spiritual beings within a physical experience, and we're also physical beings within a spiritual existence. We're not, it's not or, it's both. We are both those things, at least in our opinions. But I had never heard another person within the spiritual community ask this question until I did research for this video. And there is a professional out there. Her name is Teal Swan. And she says, quote, "We are not physical beings simply waking up to a spiritual experience. We are also spiritual beings waking up to our physical experience. In fact, the spiritual experience and the physical experience are both spiritual experiences." Right? Go back, listen to that if you need to again. Because that was like an absolute mind warp for me. And it made me so happy, because I remember talking to my friend and we were like arguing back and forth of like, is it this? Is it that? And then we're like, no, it's both. That's what we're going to say. It's both. And then I start doing research for this podcast for all of you. And I come across this woman called Teal Swan, and she literally says the same thing in her video about spiritual bypassing. And again, I will have a link to that video in the show notes below so you can go and watch it. It's just, it's crazy. It's interesting. It's very cool. So again, there will be a link to her video in the show notes, because although I may not jive with how or what Teal Swan has to say all the time, she is still very good in my opinion. She speaks like a female version of Jordan Peterson to me. My husband likes Jordan Peterson, so that's how I know who he is. But I respect Teal as a professional. What she has to say on spiritual bypassing, which is different from spiritual psychosis, might be interesting to you too, and is reflective of some of the things that I've just talked about. Now, my friend that I just mentioned to you all that we were asking ourselves the question of, are we spiritual beings? Are we physical beings? Is it both? Yada, yada, yada. We often discuss different spiritual topics together. And what I've started to understand is that we often come to the conclusion that two things can be true at once. And this concept applies to many things, both spiritual and within our own lives. This reminded me of Sarah Kay's perspective from her video on spiritual psychosis, expressing the importance to view the world with a dual lens. Sarah Kay's video is another good video that, although Sarah says she hasn't experienced spiritual psychosis personally, similar to me, I do think that her video expressing her feelings on the topic is insightful nonetheless. Because the concept of spiritual psychosis and spiritual bypassing have been brought to my attention, it has made me rethink many things about myself as a professional within the spiritual community. How I fit or don't feel that I fit into it, the spiritual community, and the ideas and values I want to express using the platform I've built moving forward. At the end of the day, I guess it's just important to ask yourself, are my spiritual practices constantly at the forefront of my mind? Are they keeping me from completing normal everyday tasks? Do I feel like I cannot make a decision on my own? Am I looking for information from others and not asking myself how I feel or what I think when it comes to my personal life or spiritual endeavors? If so, perhaps it's time to go outside, touch some grass, talk to or reconnect with another loved one, a friend, a pet, because spirituality may not be helping you, but hindering you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thank you all so much for listening to my podcast on spiritual psychosis. I hope you enjoyed it. If it was hard to listen to, that's okay. It was hard for me to research, and it was hard for me to learn that spiritual psychosis was a thing, honestly. After talking to people and having people reach out to me, it's something that surprised me. And I don't want other people to feel alone if it's something that they've experienced, whether it's personally they've experienced or they know someone that they think is experiencing it, because that can also be equally as hard. I've had other people during readings reach out to me and talk about how they think someone that they know is experiencing spiritual bypassing or spiritual psychosis. So it's a touchy subject, and I don't want people to feel like they are alone, and it's okay to talk about these things, because if we don't talk about it, then how are people supposed to know about it, and how are people supposed to feel loved and like they can get help? So anyways, this is the Mental Health Awareness Month podcast. And if you or someone you know is struggling, there is a national mental health hotline. The number is 866-903-3787. Again, that's 866-903-3787. And then there's also two things that I found as well for hotlines to help as well. There is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline that you can reach at 988. And if you don't feel like talking but would rather text someone at the crisis text line, you can text TALK to 741-741. Again, that's text TALK to 741-741, and someone can help you. I appreciate you all listening to this Sunday's podcast. I'm excited for things that are going to be happening in the future. I hope you all had a lovely Easter, aka Jesus Zombie Day. Maybe you can start a tradition of painting zombie eggs, you know, greens and blacks and, oh, it's alive, things like that. And moving forward, if that's what you like. If not, I also enjoy duckies and bunnies too, and just happy-go-lucky Easter Sundays. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Peace.